Turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to take a couple weeks and look at this wonderful parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the sower. It is one of the longer parables that is recorded in Scripture. And Jesus mentioned that it is also of great importance. And so it's a big deal. We're going to see why and how that applies to our life. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea, and he taught them many things by parables. And he said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And actually that statement that he made, "If you have ears to hear, let him hear," is a lot about the subject of this parable. Because how many of you know if I said, "All of you who have ears to hear, hear," you'd be thinking, I've got ears, Pastor. But he's talking about listening with your heart. And really, this is a big theme of this parable. Now, this parable has some unique features. And one of them is that what we're going to see is that Jesus actually explains it. Okay, one of the things about the parables that Jesus told was, you know, the parable of the prodigal son. Man had two sons, and these things happened. The son came home. He was welcomed. Jesus didn't say, "All right, now the Father is God. And when you repent, he wipes your sins away. He restores you." All right, it's implied in the parable, isn't it? But this one, Jesus, we're going to see, he actually took the time and he said, "All right, here's what this soil is. Here's what the seed is." And I'm so glad he did, because some people have misapplied this parable in different ways. You know, some people say, well, you know, give in to this offering and you'll receive 100-fold. Because, you know, this is a good ground ministry. Well, I believe ministry should be good ground. And I believe from the Word of God, when we give, we receive. But this parable is not about money. Okay, there are other parables about money, and Jesus had no shortage of teachings on money. But this parable, and we're going to see exactly what it is because he's going to be very upfront and he's going to tell us. So Mark chapter 4, verse 10, "When he was alone, those around him and the 12 asked him about the parable." So they were no longer with the multitudes. He wasn't on the boat speaking to a lot of people. He was with a few people, including the 12. "And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.'" So Jesus is saying, you know what, I want to take the time with you. I mean, you're asking, so I want to make sure you get this. And so he said to them, verse 13, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So he realized the importance of this parable, and so that's why he gives this explanation, because he said it's actually a key to understand everything else I'm going to talk to you in parables. Now, if you look in the Gospel of Matthew, it has the most recorded parables that Jesus gave. And many of those parables start off with a phrase like this: "The kingdom of heaven is like..." It's like a farmer. It's like this. It's like a man who was throwing a party. And he begins to give a principle about what the kingdom of God is like. And some of the parables that he gave are very different than the kingdom that you and I grew up in, the kingdom of this world. Remember, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who he had workers that came at different times during the day. Some worked all day and some worked 1 hour, and he paid them all the same. How many of you would agree that's a little bit different than the kingdom we live in? All right, that you would have a labor riot on your hands if you ran a business that way. But the parable was to describe the grace of God that cannot be earned. And it's not about a matter of how long you worked. It's a matter of the goodness of the one giving the grace. So he would say the kingdom of heaven is like this. Sometimes he would start parables with this. And others of his teachings, he'd said, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." It was a contrast. And what he was saying is that, you know, you've thought about this your whole life like this, but I'm about to invite you to change the way you think about this. Okay, so this parable will help us with all the teachings of Jesus and what he taught about the kingdom. All right, because the kingdom is how God operates. It's how God works. It's, you know, we are people in that kingdom. And if we understand that the kingdom of heaven is like this, and this is our role in the kingdom, then we're gonna have a really great stay on planet Earth in the kingdom of God. What is sad and frustrating for many Christians, and maybe you've been there, I certainly have been, is that you think that the kingdom works in a certain way, but it doesn't. Remember, Jesus was teaching on prayer one time, and he says, the Pharisees, they think that they will be heard for their many words. They think that the key to an answered prayer is the length of the prayer. How many of you have been around someone that evidently believed that? Okay, and maybe you believe. So they thought, they believed, and they acted in a certain way that was not the way the kingdom of God operates. All right. So I want to really understand this parable, because what Jesus is saying is if we understand this and these principles, there's a whole lot of other things that will click and that will make sense and that we can implement in our life. And vice versa is if we don't understand this parable, and a whole lot of other stuff is going to be troubling for us. Okay? So, let's look at how Jesus then explains this parable. All right? I'm going to read this to you from the New Living Translation. Okay? From verse 15. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. And thankfully, then there's this last fruit, or the last soil, right? Verse 20, these are the ones sown on good ground. Those that hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. So there are four types of soil. Now, notice that there's one thing in common with all four types of soil. And what you see is kind of the way Jesus gave those conditions of soil, which represent the condition of our heart, because the sower sows the word into our heart, is that it was progressive. First soil was the bad, the worst, the least results, all the way to the final soil. So there were different soils, but the one thing that was the same and constant was it was the same seed that was sown on all the soils. The sower sows the Word. Okay? So it is the Word of God. The Word of God has power in itself to produce in a human heart that receives it and that cultivates it. And next week, we're going to look more in depth about all these conditions and what we can do to cultivate the last one and to avoid the conditions of the first one that will render the Word of God fruitless in our life. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." All right? So the Word of God, the seed that was sown, the Word of God is alive and it is powerful. So if the Word is not producing in our life, if there's no fruit, guess where the problem is not? It is not in the Word. All right? It is not. And because here's what I find sometimes is people, when maybe they're stagnant in their Christian walk, they're frustrated in their Christian walk, their things are not working as God would want them to work, they begin to look at a lot of other places to find, oh, this isn't working. I've been to this church and I'm just not getting fed. Okay, well, the question is, are you eating? Okay, Jesus said, if you have ears to hear, listen. Okay, now, I would agree you need to put yourself in places and in positions where the Word comes forth. Amen? It has power. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." Isn't it amazing the way God created us as humans is that a small little baby, all that baby needs for a certain duration of its life, the only thing it needs to survive, to grow, for its organs to develop, is the milk that comes from the mother. That's all the baby needs. Isn't that incredible? God knew that. And so that picture is exactly what Peter is saying is, like that, desire the Word of God like milk, because what's going to happen? You will grow. You will grow. Amen? So it's not a problem of the nutrients that are here in this Word. Acts 10:32, the Word of God is alive. Amen? Paul says this to a group of elders. He says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What is able to build you up? The word of his grace. The word of his grace. All right. So hearing, receiving the word of God is a huge part of if you're going to live a healthy life or not. Okay, so that means you need to make hearing, receiving, and acting upon the Word of God a high priority in your life, a high priority. Now, I realize I'm speaking to people who came to church today. Hallelujah. So you're here. So evidently there is some type of a priority in your life to hear the Word of God, or you just got tired of your spouse nagging you to come to church. And so you got, we're so glad you're here, even if that's what it took. Amen. I also want to commend you. You came to church on a rainy day. Here's a little known fact, fun fact about Miracle Life. When it rains on a Sunday, our attendance goes down. I find that curious. You know, I think at your place of employment, you've got leave days, sick days, Mother's Days, but I don't think you have rainy days. They think that you can still make it to work when it rains outside. But, you know, there's some, God bless them. And that when it rains on a Sunday, no, it's too risky. I just don't think I can, I don't know if I can go out there or not. So anyway, you came on a rainy day. Give your neighbor a high five. All right. Now, the Word of God, because it's alive, because it's going to help you grow, it's going to build you up, it's going to give you an inheritance, that Word has to be important to you. It has to be important to you. And so one of the ways that we receive the Word of God is through the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. Through fivefold ministry gifts. That's important. At Miracle Life, we've got connection groups where we take the Word of God that comes on a Sunday and we chew on it. And we say, okay, how's that going to work in my life? How can I implement that? And that's awesome. We've got School for Life classes where the Word of God is given at a lot of different other subject matter. We've got seminars many times that we'll do with people and we'll get the Word of God. We've got, last time I looked at the numbers, we've got stock of 300,000 kwacha of books. All right? Why? For you to equip your life. And let me just say, in 2014, and I couldn't say this 200 years ago, but in 2014, if you are ignorant, it's because of your choice. We have such a wealth of knowledge that is just literally at our fingertips. Isn't it a privilege? I can download sermons literally from all over the world for free. And the Word content. Here in Lusaka, we've got Christian radio. We've got Christian TV. Amen? So make this a priority in your life. Now, something that you're going to have to decide, obviously, in any time the Word of God is presented, is if it's not the Word, I'm going to say no thank you. Amen? Because there sometimes when someone is presenting the Word of God, there's not a whole lot of Word presented. The Bible says that some, they seek after fables and just kind of stories. And stories aren't going to bless you. They might entertain you. Right? But they're not going to build you up. They're not going to give you an inheritance. We should make the Word of God a priority in our daily life. Just you and the Bible. Amen. Amen? Reading the Word of God. Letting the Holy Spirit apply it to your life. If you're a regular reader of the Word, you know that this has happened to you on multiple occasions. And I kind of have a plan that I read through sections on purpose. Right? But, I'll be reading it and I'm thinking, Lord, how did that verse get in there for today? That is exactly what I needed. How many of that has happened to you? All right. If it hasn't happened to you, then you don't read the Bible regularly. You need to. You must. Okay. So the Word of God is alive. The sower is sowing the Word. Now, what we see from this parable is the same Word brings radically different results on different soils. Same Word, same power, different results, different yields, okay? So the Word only works in the right conditions, in the right conditions. It does not just work anywhere, okay? On all four soils, Jesus said this, and the seed fell. Okay, there was no special treatment other than the seed got sown. All right. What we'll see is it was the circumstances in and around the soil that made the difference. Now, what we're going to do is just briefly look at these four. Okay. Because I want to take a whole lot more time next week to really look at this in depth and really to see how we can apply this. But what I want you to see in all four of these soils is the reason why there were soil problems was because someone was not taking personal responsibility for their heart. There was no one else to blame. And this is so important that I want you to understand and accept is that you and only you have to take responsibility for your spiritual growth. Only you. I think it's a good thing, probably in the last 50, 60 years, in the physical realm, a lot of us understand more what it takes to live a physical, healthy life, right? A healthy lifestyle. When my parents were kids, they actually thought tobacco smoking was good for you. It was herbal. It was natural. It gave you a nice feeling. And it was really only later that people discovered, okay, yeah, it gives you a nice feeling, but it gives you emphysema, lung cancer, lip cancer, throat cancer. And you are literally shortening your life. All right. And so people have heeded that and said, okay, I'm going to avoid that in my life. Things like exercise, a good diet, sleep, right? So you do these physical things and you reap the results. And how many of you know if you go to a doctor and he says you need to change your diet or you need to exercise more, how many of you know the doctor doesn't come to your house and become your chef? Well, you know, I know you need some more minerals in your diet. You need some more vegetables. So here's what I'm going to do. You just go ahead. I don't want to interrupt your lifestyle. You just go ahead and stay in the lounge watching TV and I will come. In fact, you just open your mouth and I'll feed you. And if you don't feel like chewing, I'll open and close and I'll stroke your, and I'll make you swallow it and I will make you healthy. Have you ever found a doctor that does that? No way. They say you need to do this, 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 and this. Here's how you're going to reduce your blood pressure. And if you go back there and they take the vitals and the same thing, well, are you exercising? No. Have you changed your diet? No. Well, I'm sorry, I don't have a pill to give you for self-discipline, for personal responsibility. I don't have a pill for that. Amen. And I believe this is a huge part of this. Of this parable. All right, let's look at the first soil, just briefly. So the first one was, King James says, wayside, New King James. I like this in the New Living Translation. It says the footpath. Okay, what is a footpath? A footpath is where you have walked over and over again. It's where other people, perhaps before you, walked over and over again, and then you followed where they walked. We'll have a lot to say about that next week, okay? Now, what happens is this, the seed that ended up on this footpath, this is hard ground. Ground that the seed could not penetrate. It couldn't get under the soil, okay? It was just on top of this crust, okay? Because of what, of this activity that had happened on top of the soil for year after year after year. Okay, so here was the seed on top of the soil, and the Bible says that Satan came immediately to take the seed. All right, now, one of the things we have to realize is that Satan is after the Word of God in your life. Satan does not care whether you watch football this afternoon. Doesn't care. All right. He doesn't care if you watch the Saturday night movie or the Sunday night movie. Well, there are actually some that he would encourage you because it's going to mess up your view of women and marriage and it'll really mess with your mind. All right. So there might be some that he encouraged, but there are certain things. But the Word of God is something that he knows what's going to do in your life. So he will do all that he can to stop that word from producing. Now, we could say, oh, Pastor, you're right, man. It's the devil, Pastor. Yeah, that. I'm glad we read that because, man, I tell you, the devil has been after me. And I'm, there it is. Here's the culprit. That's the end of the CSI, you know, movie. It's the show. Here we go. We found the bad guy. Now, wait a second. When Jesus came to the earth, he went to Calvary, right? He took our sin. He broke the curse. The Bible says that when he was raised up, he came and told his disciples before he ascended to heaven. He said, all authority has been given to me. That means guess who doesn't have any? Satan. He has no authority in your life. He has no authority. He has no legal right to act. He is an intruder. And so Jesus conquered him. All right. The Bible says he made a show of him openly, triumphing over him. And that victory that Jesus won, he didn't need the victory over the devil. We needed the victory. And so he gave his victory to his church. He gave his victory to you and I. And he said, in my name, go, go. So we have the name of Jesus. And so if the devil is at work in your life, if you're a believer and you've been authorized with the name of Jesus, whatever activity, whatever level of operation the devil has in your life, you are 100% responsible for that operation. Oh, but did I open a door? No. The Bible says this: resist the devil and he will flee from who? You mean not from the pastor who comes to my house to help to get the devil out? You mean not from the mega major super duper prophet that really has extra authority in this city because he's been delegated? No. If you are Job, if you got saved 5 minutes ago, you have absolute 100% authority over the devil in your life, in your life. So you resist him and he'll flee from you. I like the Amplified version. It says in stark terror. Now here's the other side. Don't resist the devil. He's going to stick around. All right. And he'll lie. He'll deceive. One of the great tragedies, you know, the Bible says that Eve was deceived, right? And so Satan talked to her and made God look like a liar, and she believed it. And so she took the fruit and she ate it. And this is so sad, as the Bible says, and she gave the fruit to her husband who was with her. What in the world are you doing, Adam, with your mouth shut? Your wife is having this conversation with the deceiver and you just stand. What are you doing? Playing games on your cell phone, watching TV? What are you doing? He should have just stepped right in and said, hey, not in my garden. No. I have been authorized. I've been delegated authority by the creator of this universe, God Almighty. Go. Get out of here. You're a deceiver. The Bible says he came in the form of a snake. Now, at my house, and I'm sorry if you get mad at this, but if a snake comes to my house, he leaves in a box. He's dead. All right. I don't take him to the bush. And if he comes on my property, dead. All right. Because it's my house. All right. But yet Adam did nothing. So now we've been given this authority. And so even if Satan is trying to pick the word of God, we'll do something about it. Resist him. Amen. So this first soil of the footpath is someone who is not resisting the devil, who is not accepting their authority that they have in Christ. Amen. That would be on us. Second soil was rocky soil. So the seed was sown. The word, it got in there. Let's go back here. And it says that they hear, all right, on stony ground, they hear the word and immediately they receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves and they only endure for a time. These are the people who hear the word of God in church and say amen. Yet nothing happens. You come back a few days later, a week, a month later, it's as if they heard nothing. Now, one of the reasons why people say amen in church is because preachers like it. Okay. And I realize there's different cultures, and I grew up in a church. We didn't say amen. So I typically don't. I say amen in my heart a lot, but I would not be a real fun person to preach to, because I just kind of sit there and listen and take notes. But when I first started preaching, when Haley and I were our early years in the mission field, a lot of where we were preaching was in the southern part of the United States, in Louisiana, Mississippi. And when I started preaching there, I thought I was T.D. Jakes because of the response the people gave. It was awesome. And I could share anything. I could say, you know, it's praise the Lord, good to see you today. I had breakfast this morning. And somebody would stand up in the back and say, that's right, preacher, bring it. Come on. I mean, people would stand up. They'd wave their hankies. People would come to the front and they'd point at you, you know. And it was awesome. So I liked it. I thought, oh, little did I know, I didn't have much to say 21 years ago. All right. And God blessed it anyway. It's fun. You know, and sometimes we say this, right? We come to church and we say, ooh, man, what a service. Oh, what a service. God is completely uninterested in good services that do not lead to a changed life. He does not care. He does not care. And there are people, and really what this, he said they have no depth. They're shallow. Because of that rockiness, the word never really gets down deep into their belief systems. They pretty much live the way they live, believe what they believe. But boy, can man, whew, I love it. Praise the Lord. These are people that listen to gospel music and they don't live a gospel life. When I lived in South Africa, we had to be careful when we were doing evangelistic crusades, different ones. Ed would like to bring gospel artists and everything. But there were gospel artists that lived like the devil. I mean, a friend of mine, he invited these guys that were really cool, wore orange jackets like the Winans, you know, really sharp and everything. He invited them to a crusade. Three of the four were stone drunk when they came to the crusade, singing gospel music. Stony ground. Hear it, say it, no change. No lifestyle change. Really, nothing has happened yet. All right, now, if that's the case, whose fault is that? Oh, I just need stronger word. I need a stronger anointing. No, you need to deal with your heart. You need to get those rocks out. Okay? You need to let the word of God go down deep. Go down deep in your heart. The third bad soil, all right, because the second one, there was a little bit of growth, all right? It came up a bit, all right? There wasn't much growth, but then it withered away. The third one that was among the thorns, it actually began to grow even more. Okay? This is like at our house, we've got a lemon tree and a mango tree that we planted, a year or so ago. And it's growing. I mean, it's looking great. It's probably 2-3 times the size of when we planted it. But here's the problem. How many of you know you can't eat mango leaves? Oh, maybe you can. I'm not going to try. All right? But it has not yet reached the stage of maturity that it is to bear fruit. And you remember the fig tree that Jesus cursed? That's why it got in trouble, is it wasn't bearing fruit. Looked like a fig tree, smelled like a fig tree, no fruit. Okay? And so God wants our life to grow, yes, but our life is to grow and produce mangoes. And maybe you're a banana tree. You didn't to produce bananas. Tell your neighbor, get sticky. All right. There, God wants his word to have an effect for us. And here's the thing about fruit is it affects others. People can come and eat. People can come and be blessed. All right. So what happens here is the word of God goes into this soil. There are weeds, and Jesus describes three things that these weeds are, and we're going to look at those next week. But what happens is the problem with this soil is, yes, the word of God goes in, but that seed is not alone. People that believe in Martians, you know, they say, we are not alone. Okay, so the word of God comes into your heart, problem. That is not alone. There are other beliefs that are growing along with the word of God. Along with the word of God. All right. True story, neighboring country, Pentecostal denomination. They had a three-way running for the next bishop of their denomination. And one of the groups went and got Muti and witch doctors to bless their bishop so that he would get to be the presiding bishop. They believed some of the word of God, but boy, there were some weeds growing, weren't there? There were other beliefs that had not yet been uprooted. Now, here's the thing. Those of you that have gardens at home, whether they're flowers or whether you're growing vegetables, But when weeds begin to grow, what do you do with weeds? What do you do? Do you pray about them? I curse you, weeds, in Jesus' name. I break your power. I come against you with the blood of Jesus. No, you don't get up all Pentecostal on them. You just pick them. You just pick them. I don't know why, but growing up, I somehow, maybe because I was, my two older brothers were out of the house. They're 6, 7 years older than me. So I was 4 years older than my brother. So I was the chief gardener at home. And let's just say, I don't like gardening. And I still don't like gardening. So, and it's hot, it's 40 degrees, and I'm pulling weeds. And sometimes I wouldn't pull a weed. And here was the problem. If you don't pull it today when it's small, come back in 2 months. You can't pull it. You better bring 3 grown men with you with pickaxes. Because that weed went, it went down deep. I was amazed at how deep some of those weeds' roots can go. And so if you're not dealing with these conflicting, unbiblical beliefs in your life, what's happening is, yeah, you receive the word. Not only do you say amen, but you start to implement, you start to, you know, I'm going to go with you, Lord. But before it really can affect your life in a significant way, these other growths choke it and bring it down. All right. And it says that it never reached the stage of fruit bearing. And see, that's not God's plan. The plan, God's design, the way the kingdom works is the last one. That we receive the word of God with gladness. We act upon that word of God. And then what happens? Oh, it does its thing. 30, 60, 100 fold. The seed that came small is now bursting. It has reproduced in your life. And that is what God wants for you. And so in order to have that, we need to avoid the first 3 types of soil. Amen. Now, all of you probably have had times where, you know, you're driving in a certain place and you see a farm, or you see someone who has been cultivating something, right? We've had the privilege of really, we've been in every province in this nation, doing conferences and everything. And I've been so blessed to see different things. But there are times where you just go for hour after hour and you don't see another living soul. And so when you look out, what do you see? Bush. Just bush. And how many of you know there's very little automatic fruit? Mangoes don't grow in the bush unless somebody planted them there. Right? But then there are times where we're driving and you see these wonderful farms, and you see workers, and you see trucks. One time with our kids, dropping my son in California, we drove to Los Angeles, and just we passed truck after truck after truck after truck of that was filled with tomatoes. Somebody's been working. Somebody's been cultivating. All right, and these beautiful farms that we see, somebody planned, somebody worked, somebody picked out the weeds, had fertilizer. There was human activity that made for a beautiful farm. And God wants the soil of your heart and the fruit of your life to be that you are bumper crop Christian. Amen. And, you know, and every now and then, you know, we see in the press, oh, this year is going to be a bumper crop. And we're like, oh, yay. Well, God wants every year of your life. Bumper crop, bumper crop, bumper crop, faith to faith, glory to glory, 30, 60, 100-fold. That is his design. But friend, it does not happen by accident. It does not happen with a special anointing. It does not happen if you get a bigger, better pastor. It happens when you allow the word of God to get into your heart and you avoid some of these toxic conditions that will keep the word from operating in your life. Because the word has the power to transform your life. Folks, it has to transform not only your life, but the lives of others. Paul told Timothy this one time. He said, continue in these things. Give yourself wholly to these things, completely. Because in doing so, you will save yourself and those who hear you. That the word of God gets in your heart, it gets in your mouth, it gets in your giving, it gets in the way you treat other people. Amen? So we are responsible for the condition of our heart. We are responsible for the level of harvest that the word of God is yielding in our life. And folks, I'll close with this proverb. Proverbs 24:30. I walk by the field of a lazy person, the vineyard of one with no common sense. Now, if you walk by a vineyard, what should you be seeing at a vineyard? Grapes. People. 31. I saw that it was overgrown with nettles. It was covered with weeds, and its walls were broken down. Something that should have been producing was not. Well, what happened? Ooh, it was an attack. It was an attack. No? I looked and I thought about it and I learned this lesson. A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little of the folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. You can't work your farm when you're asleep. And this person was sleeping through his responsibilities. All right? Why? We don't know. But let's not, when people walk by our vineyard, let them see grapes. Amen? Let them taste that 2014 was a vintage year. Very nice. Blended aromas. Amen. And please, I'm not advocating wine tasting. Stay away from wine, all right? Jesus told this parable so that we could get in the last group. So that we could be in that fourth soil. That's why he told us. All right. So if life is not that way, it can be that way. And you are the person who's responsible for that to happen. And so next week we're going to look at some very practical things of how we can avoid these other conditions of our heart to give the Word of God a place where it can grow. Amen? He wants it to produce in your life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your Word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who gave us your Word and he breathed it. So Father, we value the influence of your Word in our hearts and our lives. We give it a place of preeminence. But Father, not in our activities, but Lord, truly in our beliefs and our activities. Father, I pray that each and every one of us would take heed. Each and every one of us would be aware of these symptoms that could keep your powerful, life-giving Word from not giving life because of things that would choke it, things that would cause it to be stunted. Lord, our heart and our desire, our goal, Father, is that our life would be in that fourth group where the Word of God flourishes. It brings forth. And Lord, all the fruit, the gifts, the anointings, the plans, the activities you have for our life, that it will come to pass. So Father, we thank you. And we trust you that that will be happening and continue to happen. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here in this place, there is a word, a seed that God wants you to accept and to believe and to allow it to come forth in your life. And that seed is the gospel, the message that Jesus Christ loves you, that Jesus Christ came and he died for you, that he was raised from the dead to give you new life, to give you a gift called righteousness, that you could stand before God without guilt, without stain. You can have hope for the future. Jesus came to give you that. Now your part is to believe that. Perhaps you've been believing some other things. Maybe you believed that, well, you know, my parents were Christians. I was baptized as a baby. I went to a class one time. Some of those things are not bad. But the Bible says that you must believe. You must believe. The Bible says that right now God stands at the door of every man's heart and he knocks. And if you will open up, he'll come in. And I believe right now, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not a follower of his, right now, because God loves you, he's standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. He's knocking. And I'm asking you today, open up. Open up to his love. Say yes to Jesus. Perhaps you're a believer, you're a Christian, but you've made a lot of bad decisions. And your life has been very tough because of sin, because of rebellion. And you know it's time to come home. Like the prodigal son, he woke up and he came home. And that's you. And you need to do that. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to give my heart to Jesus. I need to receive him. I want to open up. I don't want to keep that door closed any longer. But I want to receive him as Savior and Lord. I'm going to come home to him. If that's you, wherever you are, raise up your hand. Raise up your hand and say, God, that's me. That's me. I'm opening up my heart to you. God bless you, sir. Who else will open up your heart to him today? God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Who else? Say, that's me. Over here. Thank you. Thank you. Today is your day. If you're wrestling with this decision, say yes to him. He loves you. Anyone else before we pray? Anyone else? Wonderful, wonderful. Well, can we all stand to our feet? We're going to go shortly, but I'd ask for us to just remain and want to respect those that have come today and that are going to make this decision. If you lifted up your hand, or you should have lifted up your hand, I want you to just grab whatever you brought with you to church and just come and meet me up front. Just come meet me up front. And doing so, you're saying, I am stepping out into a brand new life with God. I'm stepping out in obedience to follow him. Can we give them a big hand as they're coming right now? Awesome. He loves you. You're important to him. You're very important. God bless you, young man. All right. Now, the Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life. So we can't pay for it. We can't earn it. But we do receive it. And so if this was going to be a gift to you that I paid for, but I wanted you to have, how would you get it if I were going to give it to you, right? You would receive it, exactly. And so I want you to lift up one of your hands to God, because he is the giver of what you need. Just lift up one of your hands and close your eyes. We're going to pray this prayer together. Say, God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. He died for me. He was punished for my sins. You raised him from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. I receive you. I turn away from every wrong thing, from every sin. I leave it in the past. I follow you now. Thank you, Jesus, that I have your Spirit. I have your Word. I have your love to guide me. Thank you, Jesus. I am now in your family. I belong to you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Oh.